Well, thank you for listening to this recording today, and I hope it encourages your faith so that by the time you finish listening, you're strengthened and encouraged to go and see more of your prayers answered. Hebrews is a great book in the Bible teaching us about what faith is. And Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality." In other words, faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. So the first thing we see about faith is often it makes no sense. Often you can't work it out. You don't have to. Often it's like, how on earth can that ever happen? And of course, in the natural, these things often can't happen that we're praying that we'd be praying for. But faith connects us to God in a very powerful way. Faith is saying, God, we may not understand how it can happen. We may not see a way through this in what the natural senses are feeling. This may seem impossible to us, but our faith knows that this is possible for you because you are God, because you are King, and because therefore I have a conviction of the reality that my prayer can be answered. Because you are bigger than what and greater than what I can perceive in the natural or what's perceived, revealed to the senses. So if we're Christians that just live by what we feel and see, we're missing out on so much more that God has for us. In fact, in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it shows us that faith is so important to God. God says, guys, if you haven't got it, it's impossible to please me. Well, why does God say that to us? It's impossible to please him without faith. It's because God wants us to believe that he's for us. He wants us to believe that he wants to answer our prayers that are led by the Spirit. He wants us to believe that he is the God with whom all things are possible. And it goes on to say there that it says, whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. So it pleases God when we come to him in faith. It pleases God when we come to him and say, God, I don't know how this can work out, but I know you can do it. And you begin to recall other scripture. I know, God, with man this is impossible, but God, with you all things are possible. God, I know you're for me and not against me. So faith pleases God because faith is basically saying, I trust in someone greater than myself. I trust in someone greater than my situations and circumstances. God, this seems impossible, but with you it's possible. Of course, when Jesus hung on the cross, who would have thought God could raise him from the dead and then cleanse us from all our sin and unrighteousness? Impossible. For that to happen in the natural, but this was a supernatural thing, and God is the supernatural God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's see how this pleasing faith operated in two other places in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:11 says, because of faith, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it. Well, that's great, but how? What had to happen in Sarah? In her mental, in her heart, in her belief system, for this to happen? Well, it says, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable, trustworthy, and true to his word. That was Sarah's thinking. Look, I'm old, I'm well past all of this. Let's not go into that side of things. Well, let's go into this side of things. The reason her prayer was answered was because of her revelation as to who God was. You know, sometimes our faith is weak just because we never spend time with God. The more you spend time in God's presence, being led by the Holy Spirit, the more time in his word, the more time not just praying for your mouth, but earnestly seeking him and diligently seeking him out, as in Hebrews 6 verse 6, the more the Spirit will be revealing more of God's nature into your spirit. The Bible says deep calls to deep. This goes beyond head knowledge. Lots of people know a lot about God, but don't know much of him. And what God wants to do is reveal himself to you, spirit to spirit. And you just know deep inside, you know, it's a different level. The scripture says, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So God longs for us to, well, he actually says in Hebrews 6:6 that he rewards those who earnestly seek him out. Now, we don't just seek him out for what we can get from him, but we seek him for who he is and praise him and worship him and let the Spirit speak into our lives. And as you do that, more and more revelation enters your heart. I think it's in Ephesians where it actually says, "May I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will enter your heart." That's more than head knowledge. It's heart-to-heart relationship. And that's a tremendous scripture, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that spirit of relationship with God, which means we come to a place like Sarah when it was like, well, of course God's not going to let me down. God is always reliable and always trustworthy and always true to his word. So that's a very important aspect of faith, that we develop our relationship with him. Whenever I come to prayer, I say, Holy Spirit, would you do a work in me? So I'm not just praying for my head, but you're praying through me, that I'm worshipping. You're enabling that worship. I don't have to strive to be a better worshipper. The Spirit gives life, amen? And that enables that to happen. And I have two prayer times in the day normally. My morning one is largely in the studying the word, but also praying for people, the church, situation, circumstances. But my lunchtime prayer time for an hour is just meeting with God, primarily. I may pray over a few things he reveals to me at the end, but primarily it's just worshipping him, lifting him up, praising him. And as I begin to do that, I feel the Holy Spirit come onto me, and then he begins to reveal more of God and his nature to me. You know, in Romans it says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes with groans that words cannot express, etc., etc. These are all big subjects, but basically what God's trying to get into our spirits here is, you will not have faith unless you have a relationship with me and are serious about diligently seeking me. So, a good question, no condemnation. You can ask yourself this, I can ask myself this. How's your prayer life? How's your relationship with God? When you come to him, don't just pray and hope he'll do something. You need to be at a place where you know he'll do it, not just hope he'll do it, and kind of walk away wondering whether it will happen. Faith knows. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. And then I just want to finish this today. Hebrews 11:27 talks about Moses. And I love this. This is about fixing our eyes on Jesus. It says, by faith he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king. Listen to this. For he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose. What purpose was that? The purpose God had given him. And he endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. What an accolade. You know, we all want to be seen as something, though we have to die to that a little bit. You know, we want our reputation really to know we're in right standing with God more than anything else. But what a thing to say of Moses. He gazed on him who is invisible. I've been learning to do that in my life more and more. You know, sometimes we need to leave pain behind us, disappointment, all sorts of things. Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, had to leave behind him all the criticism and all of the negativity against him. People were yelling, what are you doing rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? Just put a fox up on there and it'll fall down. Discouragement, negativity, attack on him. But Moses had a mad king behind him. Noah was being mocked when he was building an ark. He saw a flood coming because he'd heard God. Everyone else was mocking him, but he had to fix his gaze on Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith also. But unawed Moses in Hebrews 11:27, he didn't look at the pain. He didn't look at the madness of the king. He was at a place of rest because he'd heard God. You know, you can be in the most terrible situation, but if you've heard God, it doesn't matter what anyone else says, what anyone else thinks, whatever kind of trouble they try to stir up, whatever reputation you have with them, whatever the medical diagnosis is or the bank balance, when you have faith and you've heard a word from God and you know it's okay in him, you're at total peace. You're at total rest. Maybe today you can just give all those things back to God that you're fretting about, that you're anxious about, that you're stressing about. So God, I just want to develop my relationship with you in a fresh way. I want to come back to you again. Forgive me for letting my prayer life go. Forgive me for trying to do all this in my own strength instead of trusting in you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I give you this situation again, and I trust you as the one who is reliable and trustworthy and true to your word. I give it to you, Lord, and I trust you. And thank you that that type of faith pleases you. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. I hope that's encouraged you. Well, the word of God should always encourage you. So I really do hope that the word of God has encouraged you. God bless, and go and see your prayers answered. Amen.